Good morning and welcome to Being the Change Now. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment for this final week of the retreat. Prajna is translated as direct apprehension, insight, clear seeing, or wisdom. The wisdom of this perfection isn't a noun. It can't be acquired in the way we assimilate knowledge, since it's not the knowing of objects. So how do we practice it? In the daily recollection, prajna is referred to as the wisdom of the heart. The quality associated with the heart is love. We don't think of love as a mode of knowledge, but isn't it? In the words of Michael James, love and knowing go hand in hand, each feeding the other. We cannot know without loving, and we cannot love without knowing. When we fall in love, we're eager to get to know the beloved. We're interested, engaged, available, open to the beloved revealing itself to us. We're willing to give the beloved our undivided attention. In other words, attention becomes a conduit for loving. The more attentive we are to something we love, the more attuned we are to its essence. The more connected we feel to its essence, the more we love it. When life itself is the focus of undivided attention, how can we not be awed and delighted by its intricacy, complexity, variety, beauty, intelligence? Prajna, then, is a practice of having a love affair with the intelligence that animates, and through caring attention and intense interest, arriving at the experience of the same eyes through which I see God, God sees me. As we conclude this year-long retreat, we invite you to have a love affair with life. Make yourself available to as many dates with existence as you can this week. Approach some specific aspect of life with curiosity and interest. For example, notice the intricacy of a spider's web. Marvel at the silvery trail of a snail's passage. Delight in a squirrel's acrobatics. Be awed by the majesty of a mountain. Wonder at the industry of an ant. Be enchanted by the innocence of a puppy. Feel the exuberance of the wind. Be soothed by the vastness of the night sky. Rejoice in the trill of a songbird. Serenade a mushroom. Bow to a towering pine tree. Add your own. As you give a form of life's expression your undivided attention, RL what it reveals about itself in the looking glass of your awareness. The moon's the same old moon. The flowers exactly as they were, yet I've become the thingness of all the things I see. Unan. Celebrate the realization that you are the awareness being revealed. As always, RL.
Ashwini?
Yes?
I have a crackling in my phone. Can you hear it?
I actually can't, Sherry.
Can or cannot?
I cannot.
Oh.
One option would be to...
I shan't be
bothered
by
it. Call back again. Sometimes that happens on the Start Meeting platform phone number, so if you call again, you might actually circumvent it.
Okay, well, let me try this, and then if it doesn't work, I'll try it again. How about that?
Sounds good. All right.
All right, thank you.
Caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Aloha, this is Laura.
Aloha, Laura. What are you seeing?
Oh, my gosh. I am in a pretty intense space right now of being present as my dog is transitioning.
Oh. Oh. Can you say a bit more?
Well, I've been holding the whole experience in the container of being present and witnessing and unconditional love, and it's I'm just here. I'm just not sure what to say.
Just to the best that you can, being with exactly what is.
Yes, that's it. That's it. Just with what is, making her comfortable, facilitating visits and phone calls from people who want to say goodbye to her, and and just watching her process of as she always has been, just in the moment.
And you're being able to be with yourself as you are with her?
Yes, I've been very gentle, actually. Very gentle and kind and you know, accepting of whatever's going on with me is just fine, and you know, no self-hate, no, oh, what if, or any, you know, none of that stuff, just being right here, right now.
There's no room for that, is there?
Oh, my gosh. It's just such a stupid distraction. Yeah, no room.
Yeah. And just something that at another later date would be used in a self-hating conversation. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm so grateful for practice, and you know, grateful that I have the tools to not make it about me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well.
And of course, to feel all the feelings that come along with. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes, and to know that all of it is way bigger than we can actually grasp, and that's okay too.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. So thank you so much. Deep
well, thank
gratitude
you.
To you and we'll, Ashwini and the retreat and Sangha and practice.
And please stay close as you can, okay?
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks, Laura. There is so much about love, isn't it, that when we don't make it about me, that's exactly what is there. With all the attention and all the interest and all the intensity, we are just with the process, completely here for it, engaged but not entangled with the conditioning. And that makes all the difference.
It makes all the difference. There's just, it's so... I had this experience yesterday, as a matter of fact, when I got a message about someone who had just lost a child. And to go to that place where there's just no words. There's just... All we're left with is being with.
Mm-hmm.
And even trying to make any sense of that, or I mean, the head is just useless.
Mm. Yeah.
At least for me. You know, the heart is all that can be with life. And these are the times when we realize that. The rest of the time, it seems like the mind is the best we've got, but it's not.
It so fails us in those moments where, just like this one, because it cannot. We were talking about this on the email class workshop yesterday, about how it's always trying to make sense of something that it can't make sense of, which is why the heart is the heart wisdom. Because it knows without having to make sense of it, which is such a relief in times when we are faced with what's existential, right?
Yes. Yeah. And to carry that clarity to the best of our ability into each moment of life, we can't make sense of it. Anything that wants to make sense of it just wants to be outside of it, seeing it as an object. And that's not where we want to live. We do want to live in the heart of it.
Yes, we do. And that is sort of the reason to spend time with existence. Because the mind doesn't know how to be with it, and therefore we have to be taught. And existence can teach us.
Yeah.
Yeah. As Laura was pointing out so beautifully, her dog knows.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to try to call back over the crackles.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry. I will bring on the next caller and watch out for you in the queue.
All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Ashwini. This is David in San Antonio.
Hey, David.
What I'm seeing from the instruction this week is that I am the beloved. And for me, what that has meant, starting really with last week's instruction, I couldn't really figure out why it was dropping in, but the message or the what I took from last week's reading was that the most powerful thing that I could do with the remaining years of my life would be to be able to love this person. It's long been my spiritual practice that what the world needs is more love. And it really dropped in on a run this weekend that the title of our retreat has been Being the Change, which I'm guessing is derived from a saying of Gandhi, be the change that you want to see in the world. I haven't really known all year what the change was that I wanted to be, but for me it's kind of coming together. The change that I want to be, I've always wanted to be, is to bring more love into the world. And I'm seeing that the way I think that I can best do that is to be to love this awareness practitioner. And that, I don't know, that sums it up for me. I am the beloved.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. It is. So the being, the change that you, it's all coming together, right, David, that the focus of this retreat is being the change and being the change we want to be in the world. And this, and the seeking is really, what is that change? And the change is being love. And the only way to be love is to be beloved, right? That if we're engaged in that ego conversation, which is self-hating or self-important or self-absorbed or self-focused, then love is not my experience of myself. And if love is not an experience of myself, it's not what I get to be in the world or project in the world. And therefore, it's actually the opposite of egocentricity to have the attention on loving life in all of its expressions and include ourselves, the last thing that often gets included, right?
Absolutely,
and that is the change we can be. Absolutely the last thing. Yes. Yes, that is the reason for self-hate.
Exactly. It is so much easier to love all the other manifestations in the world that are love. But that, for me, that final step will be accepting that I am the beloved and loving this awareness practitioner.
And, you know, David, I mean, those voices go crazy about what that makes you selfish or egocentric or self-centered, but it doesn't, right? Because without the only way you can see yourself as the beloved is through the eyes of love, and love is not selfish or self-absorbed. Right?
That is correct. And I think I could only have this conversation within the confines of this practice because it would be so misunderstood in a lot of other settings.
Yes, which is wisdom, right? It's the wisdom of the heart. That's why we have to be love, not say or not talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I agree.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Sherry, are you back?
I am. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Here's
our next caller. Good. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Justin in Bear Valley.
Hello, Justin. What are you seeing?
You know, I guess with the write-up in this assignment, I'm really seeing how much it resonated with me, kind of the veil of ego. And if we're not paying attention, and if we're just kind of going through, you know, in air quotes, our mundane life, then there really is that filter. And everything is just kind of, I mean, you're really, it's like the TV with the bad reception. You're just kind of in this static. That resonated for me.
Mm-hmm. And how easy it is to fall into that. How much training and practice we have to fall into, to accept the static.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like there's so much conditioning there that, you know, you kind of become thankful for these moments that jolt you out. I mean, obviously they're very challenging as they happen, but it's almost like you're forced to kind of step out of it. And I've seen that in my experience. It's like there's almost a resonation to go to something like a two-handed recording or something like that, because basically the story stopped, right?
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Yes. Well, in fact, that's why we practice.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because as we realize what we're actually living in when we're living with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, that's not really living, that we're not actually alive, that we're mm-hmm. living a bad television program with bad reception, then mm-hmm. whatever it takes to pull us out of that. It's why people make extreme choices in their life, right? In order to be confronted with something that will bring that level of clarity and focus so that we have an authentic, genuine experience of life as life is and us as we are.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's such an interesting place for me to look, because it's almost like stepping into, I don't know, the word kind of faith comes to mind, because it's like you're stepping out of that veil or that kind of static, and you don't necessarily know where you're going. Like, you really don't know where you're going. And that's just an interesting place to practice for me.
Well, and if we go back to the kind of to the focus of the week, I project you do know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, right? You don't know in that. Well, now I've figured this out, and I know what this means, and I know what this is, and I know what's going to happen, and I can predict that, and I can avoid what I don't want, and I can get what I do. Not that, but in the heart, with the heart, you do know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like I can, and you know, it's like, yeah, if I'm choosing to watch like Netflix or like I know what the Netflix kind of experience is. Like, I have a pretty good idea, right, of uh-huh. kind of what that experience is, as opposed to going to something else like, you know, I don't know, meditation or whatever it is, you know, that's a more like open-ended experience. Yeah.
Yes. And of course, we don't want to let ego set us up for an either or, right? Because we can be just as lost in egocentricity under a gorgeous starry night sky as watching Netflix, and we can be equally present with each one.
Right, right. Or we could, yeah, and we could adopt like an identity as a spiritual person, but really, you know, under the veil.
Oh, Netflix? I would never. Oh, you
exactly
watch Netflix?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, Justin.
Right, right. But we're still going to the same system. Yeah, exactly. It's tricky that way, right?
It's very tricky. As we were talking about, particularly yesterday, you know, it's the two bad choices divided into two bad choices, and then that side is divided into another two bad choices, and off we go. Yeah, it's very tricky.
Right, right. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you and Ashwini so much for showing up every day in this
thank
this
you.
Year-long retreat. It's been great. Yeah.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It's been fun. Thanks.
Thanks, Justin. And here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy in Berkeley.
Hey, Sandy.
Hey. So yeah, as others have said, the year-long is starting to merge with the acceptance class. But what I was seeing when I was listening to the acceptance recording this morning is just that, kind of through what was just being talked about, this like being the spiritual person or doing the spiritual things becomes like a program that runs. And one of those things was alluded to at the end of the recording, which is kind of like, okay, I'm suffering, but like I know I'm not supposed to be suffering. Like I know that I can just redirect my attention and like notice joy and like we're good. And there's something that kind of gets like short-circuited in that, and then it becomes this like I'm doing spiritual practice to have the right life and inner landscape. I feel like I see that in a new way, and I guess the alternative would be what we're talking about this week in the year long, which is just like, well, what else is going to do it? You know, it's like, there's this person inside that's like, listen, if I let go of my self-improvement, life improvement programs that I've put faith in to like make things okay, like what then? Like what, this like intelligence that animates is going to do it? Like, well, I don't know about that, you know? Or like,
That's what you want to let go of, right?
That's the identification operating.
Yes, that there is the heart wisdom that seeks to know itself through attention, right? It's a beautiful, it's actually very beautiful that we're on that path, where we get reflected and the revelation happens, because you're right, just like you just said, there is a process in place that is actively distorting the signal. It's basically a program that's telling you, well, you know, if you don't trust me, then there is, what are you going to do? What are you going to trust? And that is what we want to question, because what we have to keep learning that that's not trustworthy, and that if I let that go, then I'm in trust. Yeah.
Yes, and I think where it becomes kind of high-stakes practice and what's happening for me now, and I realize in the acceptance class, like, oh, I haven't really brought this to practice before, is because it's like I'm tearing up as we talk about it. Like, it's like there's like a ongoing thing I experience of like avoiding sitting meditation and waiting, like I've only been on one retreat and stuff, and it's like in all of that silence, this like pain is going to arise, and like it's going to be too much is what I'm told. Yeah. And it goes beyond what I'm told. It's like, or I guess I'm identified with that, because I'm like, yeah, it's too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we know that it is going to be too much for one thing, which is the ego, because it's going to get dissolved, right? That what we're always not confronting is our ability to confront anything. It's our adequacy that is being hidden behind the static. And so that's why this is such a hero's journey, because everything that is resisting is what we go up against and see that it's the only thing that's keeping me from being able to see the face of the beloved. That's why it is a practice of love, right, Sandy?
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's a projection that kind of like other people aren't doing this, or like I'm like, well, gosh, like if I go there, like it's going to be like embarrassing. Like, I don't, like, I could be like sobbing in contexts like this, you know? And I'm like, well, other people don't seem to be sobbing. Like, what is this? And yeah, I don't know. It becomes like then like a secret that's not brought to practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so, whatever opening that allowed you to see it is the opening that you're moving towards. And in time it's not an act of will, it's an act of revelation. And so there you are, moving towards that trajectory where whatever it is that we don't face, we will.
Yeah, I'm crying right now. It's like, well, here we go. I don't know. high stakes. There we go. Like I said.
Yeah. And we lose that at some point. It's that we suffered enough. So what if no one else is doing this? So what if somebody thinks that I'm crazy? This is my life experience. Yeah. This is it for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. I guess it's the good thing about the privileged environment too. It's like, well, I don't, you know.
Yeah, you never know.
I'll never know, and it's not like we hang out and whatever, so, or we work together, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
But we all get together to reflect that the same thing is going on for us. There's the understanding, right, Sandy, that whatever goes on within this bag of bones is 100% acceptable and something we can process with this group of people. It's the sacred trust. We can't do it alone. We all acknowledge that. We have to do it together.
Yeah. I mean, my goodness, I feel like if I were on retreat right now in person, like I feel like I would just like cry every day, all day. And I guess I'd just see what happened. But mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, yeah.
You are on retreat. Physically. Right. Yeah. And so then you can be with crying and realize that actually there's nothing, there's absolutely everything earth shattering and nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right. Stay close, as Sherry said.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy.
So, Ashwini.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I need to take care of Sandy, because I don't. I understand that she is absolutely, utterly adequate to her life. And just for her to know, I walk around crying all the time. And not just crying, but actually she used the word sobbing, and that's actually a more accurate description of it. Mm-hmm. I think it's simply what happens as the heart opens. And it happens more and more as the heart stays open.
Yes, and that the ego dissolves. I mean, how else does the ego dissolve?
Yes. There's a quote about that, isn't there?
Yes.
About dissolving in tears and something in laughter. Yes. And yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
so it's anger hardens the ego, tears dissolve the ego, and laughter transcends the ego.
Yes. Yes. And if we take all of that out of the realm of emotion and we really mm-hmm. just begin to experience it as the heart opening, that being moved is not at all the same experience, feeling that oneness with, the identity with, which is a word that we use differently a lot of the time, but the oneness, the yes of life, mm-hmm. In awareness practice, of course, that can be very confusing for people, right? Why am I crying all the time? And I'll often ask people, well, are you sad? No. Are you mm-hmm. upset? No. Is there anything wrong? No. But I'm crying all the time. Yeah, well, it's a symptom of the heart opening and being open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good thing. It's a happy thing.
It is. It's quite magical, actually.
Yeah, the barriers just dissolve.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have time. Oh, well, I thought we had time for one more caller, but we don't. So how about we just sit with that one, Sherry?
Yeah. How about we plan to all get together again tomorrow? Good Lord, will and creek don't rise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and have and be in the process. It's really that same place that we look at all the time, where the mind wants to make meaning out of my tears, because if I'm crying, then it means something. Well,
That's right.
I don't know what it means, but the heart knows why the body is doing that. It's not wrong.
Yes.
It just simply is. Yeah.
Well, and it takes us to the place of, well, I think I'll just be with this and see what the mm-hmm. experience is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and that place of the wisdom of awareness that allows us to look, okay, so this is the experience I'm having. Let me look deeply at it. And when I'm looking at something, there's that ability to be with in the truest sense of the word, right? The more deeply mm-hmm. I look at it, the more I can be with it. And that's the mm-hmm. whole point of interest and attention as the form mm-hmm. of love, that I'm witnessing mm-hmm. existence as existence is, and I am that existence. And you can't do mm-hmm. it without the attention and interest.
And as far as I can tell, you can't do it without tears.
Yeah, no. Amen to that one.
All right. Thank you, Aswini.
Thank you,
everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.